In the book of Ezekiel, we're going to begin 36th chapter in the 24th verse tonight. I'm very excited about what God has put in my heart, and I hope that by the time we're done that it excites you too. Praise the Lord. There's just something. I love to sing and I love to worship, but there's something about when the Word of God begins to manifest itself in my life that it changes me. I love a five-minute song because it just blesses me in the moment, but the Word of God takes me from week to week. Month to month, year to year in my life. And I ask that you just pray for me tonight and help me tonight, and that we do this together, and that it reach the ones that it needs to go to tonight. Praise the Lord. Would you do that with me tonight? Hallelujah. 36th chapter, 24th verse, and it says in the book of Ezekiel, "For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk." How many of us heard that word? "I cause you to walk in my statutes." Not make you think about it, not let you consider it. It'll cause you to walk in his statutes. Hallelujah. "Cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn and will increase it and lay no famine upon you." I'll go ahead and read the next part that I was wanting to get to. John chapter 14, start at verse 16. "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter." This is the words of Jesus. "That he may abide with you forever." Just blessing you tonight. Just to read the Word of God, does that bless you? Hallelujah. "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Praise God. "I will not leave you comfortless. I will" what? "Come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also." Then you read in verse 26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things." Say all things. All things. Praise the Lord. "He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you." Wait a minute. Whoa, I'll hold up. I don't want to preach yet. Praise the Lord. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth." Did we get that part? "Not as the world giveth." Not as we could buy in Walmart tonight. Not as we could pick up in the ditch. Pick up from our friends. Praise the Lord. "Give I unto you." Jesus, "give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You've heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for the Father is greater than I." Praise God. I wanted to start out reading in the book of Ezekiel because he was making those promises and speaking that unto the children of Israel in that time. He said, "I will be your God. I will put my spirit in you. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness." And those in that time, you would think, that didn't have a way out and didn't have a way to change their lifestyle, but they did. They did. And he said, "I will be your God. I will put my spirit in you. And I will change the stony heart." In other words, people weren't walking around necessarily with cold hearts. but it was the lack of understanding towards God. That he would put in them a heart that they would be able to understand. In other words, a heart that would be able to inhabit the Spirit of God. And he said that not only would I put my Spirit in you, I'll give you the ability to be able to clean out your life. Praise God. And you read those words of Ezekiel in that time, and that was right before he went to the Valley of Dry Bones. That excites me too, but that's not where we're going. But he began to speak that to them in that time, and I think, Lord, we're right there in that same time. God, I need to hear those words every day in my life. God, I need you in that way. I need my life to be cleansed from all the filthiness. That's a very harsh word. But we live in a harsh world. There are things that are coming left and right to try to hinder the children of God from being the children of God. Trying to hinder us from being able to worship freely and proud. Things to try to hinder us from being who we truly are. There are things trying to literally choke out the spirit that even God spoke into the children of Israel, even back in the days of Ezekiel. And Christ, as he was living in this day, even tried to speak to them that even when I go away, I'll send you a comforter. Hallelujah. And in the present day that we're in, how many of us know that we have a comforter? Come on, help me tonight, church. How many of us know that we have a comforter? We have a comforter. We have the Spirit of God in us because he is in us. When you accepted Christ into your life, you called out on him. Yes, you inherited the salvation. Yes. But how many of us are tapping into that Holy Ghost, that teacher that leads us in all things? We're getting real tonight. Help me tonight, church. The Holy Ghost is that part of us that teaches us all things to help us learn to not make the same mistakes we always do. We're all willing to admit that we come short, aren't we? How many of us are willing to admit that we come short on the same thing all the time because we're not willing to change it? The only thing that will ever change that part of your life that hinders your walk with God is the Spirit of God. Manifested through the Holy Ghost. It is your teacher. It is your guide. And as you begin to call out in a greater way, it's that part of you that will lead you away from sin and into a better life. It's that part of you that leads you away from a mundane lifestyle where you're bored with everything all the time. Nothing entertains you. Everything's just blah. You'll get into a life where you have joy. So many of us don't have joy anymore. We're unhappy. I don't want to put you on the spot. But I would almost guarantee that maybe half of us in this room aren't even happy right now. Because we're dealing with stuff in our life. We've let what we're going through in our life rule our happiness. And the Spirit of God that's placed in us is greater than those things that would try to hinder our happiness. You see, because when your happiness is hindered, you have no drive or desire to want to worship. You have no drive or desire to even want to come to church. Haven't you ever noticed that it's the easiest thing in the world to do to lay out of church, but the hardest thing in the world to do to show up? I like to talk about the real stuff. It's the easiest thing in the world to do to say, well, I'm just going to stay home tonight, or, well, I'll just let this move pass me by tonight, Lord. And I'm just too tired to worship tonight. And God, I've done too much all week long. I just don't think I can turn to you. We're listening until we get rocked to sleep. But I want you to realize something. The Spirit of God is for everyone in this room. The Spirit of God is here for you tonight. And all that I know is I begin to pray every day. Is that it's the only thing that I've got that works. It's the only thing that I've got that keeps my heart, keeps my life together. It keeps my marriage a happy marriage. It keeps my family a happy family. It allows me to go to work and keep my sanity. It allows me to have all my bills paid. It allows me to be a blessed individual of God because I allow the Spirit of God to manifest in my life. It's not because I'm some upper class, some special person. It has nothing to do with that. It's a willing heart to receive what God would pour out in it. You see, I came to God in desperation. I needed something greater in my life. All that I came to Him with was drug addiction and depression and destruction. And He took all that I had and the Spirit of God, and it took my stony heart and little understanding and changed my life forever. And every day that I let the Spirit of God be my teacher, I'm one step closer to Him. I'm one step closer to that true joy in my life. Every time that I allow the enemy to win a battle in my life, I might as well go to bed and put a post-it note on my face that says I'm unhappy. Go ahead and take my joy. Go ahead and take my life. But I'm here to tell you that you have the Spirit of God more than able, more powerful than all of your depression. I'm telling you to lay it off tonight and believe in the Spirit of God that's placed deep down inside you. I don't think any of us came to God with $1 million. When we came to Him, we came to Him because we were in need and lost. Every time we come to God, we're in need of something. When we get on top of the mountain, you realize our pride, as it always tends to love to show up at that time, loves to take all the credit for God. Oh, it's no coincidence. You just happen to get a raise because you worked hard. I worked hard because God blessed me to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, church. When you walk around in the Spirit of God, you're able to face the enemy head on and not turn around and run away. You're able to look the enemy in the eye and say, not today, devil. Not today, devil. I'm taking a stand for my life. You might not realize how much that depression's eating you alive. Because it's easy to see how sickness eats people's bodies away. It breaks my heart to hear people say that they have cancer. And you see their lives and their bodies dwindle away. But you see people in their mind, you can't see what that does to them, can you? We walk in afflicted in our mind all the time. God wants to move on our behalf. But we're so clouded up that we don't even hear it. And when we do, we refuse it. Come on now. We refuse that help. And then when the day comes that we really need it and we're calling out and thinking, where in the world is God at? I know I'm speaking to more than just me right now, Doris. You can either be real with me tonight. We can be human. He said, confess your faults one to another. You can either be brave and be honest, or you can act like you're Mr. Perfect. But let me tell you, even Mr. Perfect has his faults. Come on now. Come on now. I want to read this last part to you because I don't want us to get too far ahead. Romans 8, verse 9 says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If we have the Spirit, then what do we have? We have Jesus with us in a greater way, don't we? When we're walking around without that and think we're all right, we're none of His. I'm not going to try to sugarcoat that. It's black and white tonight. It's very easy to read. I don't want to be in a place where I'm not in the fold of God. I don't. How many of us need God? We all do. Sure we do. Sure we do. But sometimes we just have to read that and actually comprehend it to realize that, hey, It's not by my good looks that I'm always in the fold of God. It's by the fact that I have the Spirit of God that's inside of me. Just because that you preached real great on Sunday does not mean that the Spirit of God's going to hang out with you until the next Sunday. There is something that has to happen between those two Sundays that lets that linger in your life. There could be prayer in your life, but more than that, there is lifestyle changes that you'll make to show God how much that you love Him. There'll be things that you won't say to show God how much that you love Him. There'll be things that you'll lay down and actions you will not do to show God how much that you love Him. I love to praise and worship God, but I know that He is so proud of me when I hold my peace. I know God loves me when I hold back when somebody wrongs me and I turn the other cheek. That shows the true example of God in our life. It's so easy for us to want to say just what's on our mind, but sometimes what's on our mind is not of God, and it's not the Spirit that's living inside of you, and that's your flesh trying to just get all roused up and speak against somebody, and somebody that loves you that just was angry at the time, and you might say something to them that's not the light of Christ. We're human, aren't we? We get bothered, don't we? Sure we do. Sure we do. People will say things to ruffle your feathers, don't they? Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I'm a very meek person. That don't happen to me much. You just wait. It's going to come. It might be Christmas. It'll come. But God is glorified when we're able. When you read about some of the things and add to your faith virtue and virtue knowledge and knowledge temperance. Temperance is self-control. Praise God. When we perform self-control and abstain from sin, God is glorified in that. Hallelujah. When you resist temptation, something that you normally have a hard time with, God is glorified in that. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God grows stronger in your life when you're able to resist those things. Don't talk about that stuff, Jared. You're all up in my grill now. That's where God wants to be. That's where God wants to live. He said, I put my Spirit inside of you. Not outside, on the side, on the shelf, or in your car, in your house when you go and act like that you don't know God. He said, inside you. Inside you. He's with you always. Inside you. Say, He's inside me. He's inside you. He knows your thoughts. He hears your words. He knows your life and knows when we need to turn to Him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's read this last part. First Epistle of John, 2nd chapter, 27th verse. But the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you. Say, in me. In me. It's in you. And ye need not that any man teach you. Uh-oh. And you need not that any man teach you. What are you saying? We've got a lot of education of, well, this is how you know that you got it. Let me tell you something. Nobody gave me a piece of paper that broke it down for me to let me know that if you do this, this, and this, and you feel this, this, and that, you've got it. There's something about the presence of God when you allow it to fill your life that you know that it's real and you know that you've got it. Nobody has to teach you that. Nobody's got to show you. You don't have to go and have a conversation. And if you have to have a conversation with somebody of whether you have it or whether you don't, there's your sign that we need to reevaluate what we've got. Let me tell you something. When Jesus Christ comes into your life, you know that you've got it. There is a certainty in your life. Let me tell you, when the blood is applied in your life, it doesn't run dry. It doesn't go away. It's something that's on you. Can't shake Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There's something about when God gets a hold of your life, if you'll let Him, He'll lead and guide you by the Spirit, and you'll begin to be a different person. I used to know you, Jared. I used to know the way you used to live, but you're so much different now. You don't do the things that you used to. I never see you in the places that you used to be in anymore. I don't know what it's about my life anymore, but as long as it's centered on God, that's all that matters. If your life's centered on God, it'll be reflected in every day of your life. You won't have to wear a sign that shows me that. You won't have to debate it with 15 people and your pastor. You'll know that you have it. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? When you know that the Spirit of God is in your life, you don't have to debate it with me. Nobody's got to teach you that. That means no matter how young or how old you are, or how great of an understanding of the Bible that you have, or if this is the first time you've ever heard preaching before, that you can come to know Christ and feel it the same way that I do, if you'll allow it to. Praise the Lord. Let's read the rest of this. I'm excited. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things and is truth and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have what? Confidence. And not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. I read that and I know that I'm not going to be ashamed at his coming. But what about his coming on Sunday night? Let's not talk about the rapture. Let's talk about regular church service. Because it's what we always talk about. Let's get right into the middle of it. How many of us, sometimes just because of life, let it get in the way of our worship? Come on now. Voice your honesty right now. Let somebody else know that you've been there. It helps when you do that. It's not for me, it's for somebody else. That's why I ask you. How many of us get hindered just because we're already webbed up before we get here? We're webbed up in so much on our mind before we get here, we can't ever break loose of it to be able to worship. I've been there. And there's been times that I was not able to get a hold of that confidence that it's talking about. You see, when the presence of God comes by, that should present confidence in your anointing. And you know what happens when we're not presenting confidence in what the Spirit of God is in our life? What does that mean? We're showing that we're ashamed. And when we read back in other scriptures, it says that we can only serve one of two masters. So when you line all that up, when we're not confident in God and we're ashamed, he said he'd be ashamed of us. When he's ashamed of us, we're serving the enemy because we're not representatives of God. And if we're blood-bought, redeemed children of God, we should be confident in what we have. And the only thing that ever hinders me in my life are my trials. But if I could learn to remember that God is greater than all of that, and remember that through faith that he's brought me through other things, a testimony has its purpose. Counting our blessings have their purpose. They do. But we live in a world so numb, we forget about tragedy one day after it's happened. Come on, here's something on the news and we forget about it because we're just framed into that mind. But God has been so good to me, Jamie. It helps me to get in a place in my life where I'm confident because I remember what he's done for me. Do you remember, JR? Brent, do you remember? Do you remember, brother? Doris, do you remember? He said that you would be made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the words of your testimony. The words of your testimony are that part of you that brings you out of the pit when you're not confident. When I'm down about what I'm going through now, and I don't have all the money that I did then, I can remember that God supplied my needs back then. That testimony brings me through another day. Hallelujah. That Spirit of God begins to stir up in my life because I know that once I was an addict, but now I'm free. Once I was lost, but God saved my soul. Once I was bound for hell, and he redeemed my life. He is our Redeemer. He is our present. Say present. Present help in our time of trouble. He is here tonight to reach out. Stand with me tonight. He is here tonight to meet your every need. Is here tonight to meet your every need. Praise the Lord. You to get in a frame of mind just to Most of the time we let those things that hinder us hold us back from being able to get in God's presence. But I want us to look at them right now together, face forward. Okay, let's just take a minute and think about what it is that we're going through right now. Go ahead and take a minute. What is it that hindered you from being able to enjoy as much as you could tonight? What was that? You can shut your eyes. You can ponder on it however you need to. Just think about it. What was that, Lord, that was hindering me? I'm not here to pass judgment on you. I'm here to tell you that when you come to repent to God, it's to improve your life. It's to change you for the better. And it's to bring you forward in Him, that we not go back to the ways that we were brought from. You see, if you read in the Bible, Peter was talking about that they were blind from things that were afar off. In other words, they were nearsighted. They were able to handle the things that were right in front of them, but couldn't see the greater vision. What is it that's hindering us that we cannot go forward? And I'm going to ask you, young and old, who's been saved 1 year, 5 days, 20 years, to let's address those things tonight. If you do not know Jesus Christ tonight, there's going to be people, I'm believing this tonight with all my heart, there's going to be people that are going to come, and you can just come and come right in with them. And we're going to pray together. Aren't we, church? This is a church that's making a difference. Praise God. This is a church that loves you and is here for you and is here to pray with you. And we still believe that God is alive and well and on the throne.